You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show coming up for you today. Corrine Hendrickson is going to be joining us. Mm-hmm. She owns a child care center.
Yes.
She also belongs to the Main Street Alliance. Yeah. And they have been having events across the state talking about how critically important child care is. And we're on the cliff.
Yes.
We're really on the cliff as far as extra aid going to help keeping these child care centers open when that money runs out. And so Corrine's going to be joining us. They had a meeting last night. They're going to be having one again next week. Mm-hmm. So give you a little heads up if you want to try and make plans to attend that. Corrine Hendrickson joining us after the 9:30 news. Next hour, Darren Van Ruden, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Association, is going to be joining us to talk all things Wisconsin farmers. He's actually in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, they're for a farmers union event, probably lobbying, my guess.
I would imagine so. So we're going to talk to him about that, who they're going to be meeting with. Should be fun.
Yeah. And who they're not meeting
and
with.
And who they're not meeting with, and who might just meet with them and be rude and yell at them and walk away. I don't know. We'll have to see. And then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Raccoon Gone Bad edition.
And there's a picture that comes with it, too.
Think Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Oh, boy.
Stick around for that. That's at the very end of the show, coming up around 10:51. Wanted to start off with, though, one of our yelliest lawmakers.
I would say he's Wisconsin's yelliest. Yeah, definitely.
It's got to be way up there.
No, yeah, actually, when it comes to Wisconsin, yes, top of the heap.
U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden now says he is against Republican efforts that would change the SNAP program, which is known more commonly as food stamps. Mm-hmm. He's against cutting these benefits, even though he did vote for the GOP-authored federal budget blueprint that mm-hmm. calls for slashing programs like SNAP to the tune of $200 billion.
His exact words were, your SNAP benefits will not go down a nickel.
Maybe. And he appears to be serious about that-ish.
Well,
again, I'm not sure why you would vote in favor of this budget that does call for more than $200 billion in cuts to programs, including SNAP, and then author a different piece that says, no, I don't want, you're not going to touch that.
Well, I think I see where he tells the story of being a poor kid,
single mom,
and having to be relying upon food stamps. He says that food stamps, government cheese, things of that nature, free breakfast programs, free food programs for kids,
right?
Those are all great programs. They're there for a reason. And he says in that video clip that we played a while ago, that it will not go down a nickel. I think you say it right here, is that he says those things out loud. SNAP benefits won't go down a nickel. They won't. They're safe with me.
They're sacred.
Do not worry. But at the end of the day, he's going to vote for something that's going to have to, and he'll shrug his shoulders and go, cuts had to be made. So he can still look like he was in favor of them, even though he's going to vote against them eventually, even if he tries to make it seem like an indirect way of voting against
them. So do you think this is kind of a posture for him, so he will look like the good guy when they do ultimately vote to cut SNAP?
Yeah, because I'll say this right now. I believe Derek Van Orden when he says he doesn't want to cut SNAP benefits. I do believe him. But that doesn't mean he's going to not vote against his own interests, because they do it. All politicians do it all the time.
That's true. Both sides do.
Yes. I think this is going to be a matter of, well, we had to make the tough cuts, and I didn't want to do it, but here we go. And sorry, you don't get this free breakfast program, or your food stamps, your WIC benefits are cut. We'll try again in 2 years.
Derek Van Orden does sit on the House Agriculture Committee, which oversees SNAP. The committee has been considering a proposal that would, for the first time, pass on some of the cost of operating it onto the states, while also adding work requirements and implementing methods to limit future increases to benefits. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner, and this has just kind of jumped out at me. Last week, Van Orden walked out of a Republican House Ag briefing and yelled an insult at staff. So he's an equal opportunity insulter.
He doesn't like it. I don't think he really likes anybody.
He sure doesn't seem to.
No, he has. There are. I don't know. I'm not going to get into the psychological.
His anger issues?
No, I'm not going to do that. That's for him to talk to a therapist about. And I'm being serious when I say that. But he just always. He's the kind of guy, and I'm saying guy for a reason because it's a lot of this in men who believe I know what's best. Never question me. And how dare you even ask me that? I know what I'm talking about.
But there's a lot of that going around.
Oh.
How dare you even ask me that? And I think that starts from the top.
No.
And that starts with Donald Trump.
I agree. I think that they've always had that attitude. But before Trump, there had to be diplomatic ways of addressing those frustrations. Now, I mean, that I think it was with the Ohio senator who called a guy a clown to his face because they fired him from his federal job. He said, "You look like you probably deserve to be fired."
Oh, to his face.
To his
he
face.
Said it.
And he said it with like, "Heh, what are you going to do?" And I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing right now?" So I think that, yeah, I think all that, you know, the felonious president has done is given them license to act like the biggest piles of junk they want to act like, with no consequences, by the way, either.
Not so far.
None.
SNAP right now helps feed more than 40 million low-income Americans. A previous proposal that the Ag Committee was looking at would have seen states' share of costs reach 25% by the end of 10 years. And this does seem to be a big part of what the Republicans are planning. A lot of these federal programs, they want to push back off onto the states. Now, they're doing that with FEMA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, they're saying, let's just get rid of FEMA, and then the states are going to pick this up. Talk to the people in Western North Carolina and find out how that's going for them.
Well, also, I mean, and I don't know if I'm right on this one, so please chalk it up to my ignorance. But we live in Wisconsin right now.
We do.
And we have currently as legislation legislators who sit on a $4 billion budget surplus. We're sitting on PIFA money, school money.
Hospital
money.
That's been approved.
Yeah. So if the federal government wants to push FEMA or benefits, SNAP benefits onto us, that money is probably, well, that means that we have to authorize money somewhere, which means it will never happen because this current government in Madison, Robin Voss and his minions, do not believe in doing any of those things. So those programs will never be funded. So even though they're pushing them on to us as the state, we'll never fund them because people like Robin Voss will say, we don't need to do that. We're fine. So I know people will be like, well, that's my tax dollars. Don't worry. They'll never approve it to be funded in the first place.
But this is going to have major ramifications.
I don't
even
know.
Even just talking about FEMA.
Jane, I don't know if you know this, but Robin Voss, don't tell anyone. He doesn't care.
Well, and those ramifications don't really affect him.
Until they do affect him. And hopefully it's not a tornado or a flood or a fire or something. And I don't want anything.
Wish that on anyone.
Nobody. But I'm tired of people reacting instead of being proactive. And if the federal government is going to push this spending onto us, we should be spending. We have the money. We have that money sitting there in a bank account. But that's not what's going to happen.
Joint Finance Committee's been sitting on that money for how long now? 2 years.
How long have we been on the air?
Yeah.
We've been talking about it now almost since the beginning of this show.
Representative Van Orden was not the only one who recently walked out of this meeting. He was along with Don Bacon from Nebraska and David Velato of California. Van Orden walking out of an agriculture panel GOP briefing last week, slinging an insult at staff before he left. So at least I guess he's consistent.
I mean, that's just...
It's just bad behavior.
It's absolutely bad behavior. It is unbecoming. and it shouldn't be rewarded. And that's the problem, too, is that people are like, yeah, you tell. Well, what is he telling them? I don't know. I just like when they get mad.
Well, what happened to the days of being the bigger person?
Gone.
And making your point and that being your stance, as opposed to insulting people and screeching at people?
Insulting, screeching, and being mean to people is what gets you attention, love, and clicks and news stories. And we're talking about it right now.
That's true.
And I just wanted to clarify, it was Senator Jim Banks of Indiana who told a fired federal worker that he was a clown and probably deserved to have his job taken from him. Said that to a voter's face. So yeah, we might not be in the darkest timeline right now, but we're certainly traveling there at light speed.
Talking about SNAP benefits, Derek Van Orden now says he opposes cuts to SNAP, which he did say in at least one meeting that we have him on record for. He got very, very testy about that. However, he did vote for the Republican budget blueprint. So we'll see again if, as you said, he's just kind of placing himself in a spot that says, look, I didn't mean to. I was against this, but, you know, they all passed it without me.
I can't not vote for the budget. It's the budget, everybody. Cuts must be made. Sacrifices must be had. And you all have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. There's only one bootstrap now. We can only afford one bootstrap. Cassandra on the live stream says, I am so angry that I spent an entire day at the Joint Finance Committee, the town hall meeting last week, over 9 hours, and they're still refusing to fund the things everyone is asking for. I mean,
and that's red and blue sides. It's all sides.
Yeah.
There are shockingly things in Wisconsin that we all agree on.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I just would like to know when the impossibly inactive GOP of Wisconsin are going to do something to people who support them that make them go, maybe this isn't the right thing. Maybe this, I needed that program. I needed that. We're going to talk about it more. And Pat talked about 612 things they want to strip out of the state budget. And they're not tax breaks for millionaires.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
The job creators?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I know. I'm a crazy person. What
I was listening to you and Pat on the way in this morning, and when they were talking about the Republicans again want to strip over 600 measures from Governor Evers' budget. Essentially, all they're leaving in the budget is the word "the."
Yeah.
Pretty much that's all you got.
Yeah. It's, I just want to, I don't want to anger, but I want to see more people angry about this. I want to see more people on both sides. That's the thing that's frustrating.
Well, and for Cassandra and other people who have gone to those Joint Finance Committee meetings, what an insult that this is obviously just performative.
Oh, absolutely.
They do this just to say, look, we sit and we listen to our constituents and we hear people's concerns, and then we leave, and then we completely ignore everything that all those people said for 9 hours.
Yep. And their hotel rooms, their travel, their lunch, their per diem, that is my, your, everyone else's money in this state. We pay for this clown show to tour the state and not listen to people and their very valid concerns. Was it four stops?
Four. They did four.
That probably is going to cost few grand, because I'm sure they're not staying at a Roadway Inn or a motel.
Mm. They're staying with friends.
Yeah.
All right. When we return, our long, long nightmare is finally over. All the details on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the Board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment as well if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball is back, and we have got your tickets starting this Friday. Starting this Friday. Throughout the baseball season, listen for your chance to win Milwaukee Brewers tickets. Tune in and listen for keywords throughout the day. Then you want to text in that keyword via the Civic Media app. And you're in the running for a four-pack of Brewers tickets. You'll have five chances to enter every Friday. Listen to Pat Kreitlow, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, our show, Matt Nair on Air, Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, and then the Maggie Dawn Show 4 to 6 every Friday, our statewide text to win contest. You can find all the complete rules, because someone out there wants to read them, at Civic Media's website. Go to civicmedia.us. Baseball, baby, we got your tickets.
Oh, I like that. Baseball, baby. And there should be like, we got your tickets.
Oh, well, boy,
oh, we're going to make that a thing.
Todd Michaels, if you're listening, here's another thing to put on your list of 900 things you have
the
to do today.
The voice of Todd.
The voice of Todd and the voice of Civic Media. All right. Oh, our long nightmare is finally over.
Whew.
The boat that was left along Milwaukee's lakefront is finally gone. Crews worked all of yesterday to remove the boat called Deep Thought that had been stuck there for months and months and months.
And months and months.
This took a long time.
It grounded, or what would be the official title?
It went aground?
Yeah, sure. Boating terms. In October.
Right.
So, yeah, we're looking at 7 months.
7 months it's been sitting there, and it has become a hazard because people are climbing on it and defacing it and putting graffiti all over it. But the whole removal process of Deep Thought started yesterday morning at 9 a.m. They got it over the rock wall and onto the rocks just before 4 p.m. They got it into a flatbed around 7 o'clock last night. The boat's weight briefly stopped the send-off around 8 o'clock when the tow truck got stuck in the street. What a process. It eventually worked its way down North Lincoln Memorial Drive. The boat arrived at All City Towing just before 9:30 last night. They started at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
I mean, you want to do it. We don't do this as for a living.
No, I do this for a living. Are you kidding me?
That's hard work.
I'd be like, no, thank you.
But it's not like they have to save it because it's going to get refurbished, right?
Okay, Jane, let's be honest. If someone doesn't auction this thing, what country do we even live in?
You think someone's going to try and make money off of it?
I think there
is. Sell pieces of Deep Thought?
Oh, God, there is at least 10 Bayview hipsters who would buy that thing wholesale, chop it in pieces, and put it as a statue in their backyard next to their bird feeders. Absolutely, without a doubt.
That's not a bad idea.
Thank you very much.
Well, then if that happens, then they should pay this company that stepped up and did this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, well, and they said that Lincoln Memorial Boulevard was shut down most of the day.
Just to get this boat out of there.
I don't understand why they had to have, but I'm smarter people, Greg.
Well, see, and again, that's my question. You couldn't just chainsaw the thing apart. It's not like we're not taking it back out on the water anytime soon.
That's the thing. That's a great point. Like, all right, you hire two people with chainsaw. Like, it was there for 7 months. Say, we want it out in a month to 2 months. Easily, every day, you just chainsaw a little bit. Bam, 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 bam. Oh, here's part of the hull. There you go. Bam, 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 bam. There's the poop deck. And then there you know, it's gone. But no, now it's this event.
Well, it was quite a thing. Milwaukee County Supervisor Sheldon Wasserman said in a news release, the boat has been an eyesore and a hazard for far too long. The county taking action per the advice of council, and because we can't wait any longer, in addition to action taking place on the beach, we are pursuing every legal avenue to ensure taxpayers aren't left footing the bill for someone else's negligence. I jumped pretty hard on the owners of this boat. They are.
You did.
I did. No, I did.
It was a valid question because it just seemed like they had left town and that there was no follow-up.
And they were off the hook.
Yeah.
But it does sound like, you know, they spent a lot of money. This was going to be their retirement plan, which did not go well.
No.
And so I don't know how we expect them to come up with the money to get it out of there. So we had at least two people who donated money.
Mm-hmm.
20 grand to help get it out of there.
Yeah.
But again, thank you to the company that finally stepped up and did this. And I'm glad it's gone. And I'm glad nobody got hurt.
And
seriously, someone, and that would have been a lawsuit.
Yep. Yeah.
Against the city and the county.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing that Deep Thought is finally gone.
Oh, Deep Thought. The story that never was really news in the first place. This is, I think, part five of our coverage. WBA, are you listening?
Maybe the guys who made Hundreds of Beavers can make a film out of Deep Thought in some way, shape, or form.
Ones of Boat. That's the name of the movie.
We have news coming up next. When we return, we're going to talk with Corrine Hendrickson about childcare in Wisconsin. They had an event last night. There's one coming up next week if you would like to attend, so stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, no matter where you are.
No matter where?
In Oshkosh, listening on WISS, perhaps. You can always call us or text us. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, as we always do, we indulge in a little audio sorbet. Little cleansing for your ears. We get away from politics and things like that and talk about lighter things.
Mm-hmm.
So next hour at this time, we want to know, what social media accounts do you follow that make you happy?
There you go.
That make you feel better.
I got a good feeling inside just thinking about the ones I do follow. Like a genuine breath of oh, wow.
You check them every day, even if it's just for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You check this social media account just to see what silly thing they're doing.
Yep.
We could all use a little bit more of that in our lives.
Agreed.
So start thinking about it now. What social media accounts do you follow just because they make you happy or they make you laugh?
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that next hour at this time. Right now, excited to have her back. Corrine Hendrickson is here. She owns a daycare center. She's a member of the Main Street Alliance here in Wisconsin. And Corrine, you guys had a big meeting last night in Mount Horeb about childcare. So can you tell us a little bit about how that went?
Yeah, so we had another community conversation. Thanks for having me on before Ashland one. And this time, though, we had the Raging Grannies kick us off, which was pretty fantastic.
Nice.
I uploaded the video of the song that's about childcare onto our event, the Brickcider event, if anybody wants to watch that. I highly recommend them. So that was super fun and a great way to kick it off. And then Matt, who owns Brickcider, spoke a lot about how, as an employer, it's imperative for him to be able to have people that can work that have reliable childcare. And as a small business owner, restaurant industry, very small margin of profit,
yep.
he can't afford to, you know, offer it as a benefit for his employees because it's so expensive. It's too much. And also, how do you justify giving one employee basically a $2,000 a month bonus?
Right.
For, you know, with against other ones. And that's not fair either. It affects all of us. So he really is interested in something like a payroll tax like Vermont did, where it's 0.05%, which FYI, that would double what our manufacturers and ag pay in state income taxes because they only pay 0.05% right now. So it's 0.05% is what they did in Vermont. I haven't crunched the numbers for our state specifically. However, what that did is it doubled the amount of revenue that the programs got per child because it increased the amount of money that was coming into the program. And it's been wildly successful. It started in April of last year. Vermont is tiny. They have fewer than 1 million children.
Right.
They actually have increased the number of slots by 1,000, which would be like 10,000 here. They have increased the number of regulated family childcare by 50 and group centers by another like 75, and 300 more people are in the field in 7 months. You know, this report came out in February, so in like 7 months. And the affordability, the amount the parents were paying out of pocket dropped. And so all these parents now, you know, they no longer having the employee crunch that we were having. They're no longer having the demographic issues. We're about the same as far as age and everything. And they are actually increasing their birth rate. Weird. It's amazing what happens when people feel financially secure and, you know, they're able to go to their small businesses and spend money. Because if you're not spending the same amount on your mortgage as you are on childcare, all of a sudden you have all this money in your pocket to go to the restaurants and to go to the small businesses and just, you know, buy things that, you know, you can do with your family and, you know, go to the state parks and just do things.
It seems like what you're saying is that these programs wouldn't be so much as an entitlement or for the takers. It's more like an investment. It sounds like an investment with an ROI, with a return. With a return.
Yes, a return on investment. So speaking of that, old traditional return on investment studies have said between $7 and $14 for every single dollar spent in childcare. However, some newer ones have come out. Washington, D.C. has done a pay equity fund, which is kind of what we're asking for here in Wisconsin. Increase the wages by about $5 an hour. They've gotten 23% back. $23 are back for every dollar they've spent. Because weird, people have more money. The state's getting more income taxes. The teachers are no longer relying on the public service, public goods subsidy, Medicaid, food stamps, housing to stay in the field. They're able to pay for that themselves. So that, you know, starts to diminish as well. And then Canada went to $10 a day universal child care about 2 years ago, and they've seen an increase in their gross domestic product of 1% just from that.
Wow.
1%.
Wow. But as you said, it's how you sell it, right? Because the Republicans, it's a tax increase. We can't have any more tax increases, instead of saying this is an investment in the future. This is an investment essentially in business, and certainly mm-hmm. for small businesses. And we've talked a lot about this yesterday, how crucially important small businesses are to the economy. And one of the reasons why Wisconsin fared pretty well going through the pandemic was because Governor Evers focused so much attention on keeping small businesses going. And if you don't help them and if you don't support them, that's kind of like they're part of the foundation, and you don't support that. And that's when the foundation starts crumbling.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what part of that investment was increasing our wages from $10.66 an hour to $12.66 an hour. By the way, we allocated the COVID relief funds. Other states didn't do that. The states that allocated the funds to every regulated program and wanted it and supported it and required, which we get audited. It's a requirement. This is not money that we're not, you know, accountable for. We get audited. That we have to prove we're spending it, how we say it. And the requirement was half the money had to go to wages. And so we did it. And those states that did that fared better. Those states that did that across the board are now investing state dollars. Our state, as of tomorrow, if the omnibus gets, you know, passed in the Joint Finance Committee at 1 o'clock, childcare counts is out. That means, and I haven't heard any plan. I have reached out to Senator Mark Klein's office. He is my senator. And I specifically asked, what is your plan then? What do you have as an option? What's your idea? Because we did say childcare counts likely won't make it. And that's why we've used the terms childcare investment. That's why we've said we want it to go to the wages, but they're not responding. So that tells me that I'm very worried that it's going to be deregulation. It's going to be 16-year-olds. Our insurance companies, West Bend is one of them, they're sending out letters for non-renewal right now to everybody because they want to get out of the business. Because deregulation is causing more children to die and get hurt and increases the risk. And so they want to get out of it, which I don't blame them. But come on, insurance lobbyists, do your job and tell these people this is the problem. Like, come on.
Seriously.
You know, help us out.
Yeah. So, Corrine, just so I make sure I'm understanding this correctly, their answer, the Republicans' answer to the child care crisis in Wisconsin is to deregulate it so we have younger people who are working at these centers overseeing even more children. Correct?
Correct. That has been the only thing that I have seen as options. I have not seen a single thing about a single dollar being invested. Correct me if I'm wrong, Senator Markland. You can email me. You have my number.
Senator Markland, you can call us right now. 855-752-48. We'll take it.
We'll wait.
Sure.
So I have a question for you. Is we've talked about this topic a lot on the show, and the apocalyptic version is always they want to do this so women just stay home, have babies, quote unquote, know their role as mothers for the family. That kind of talk. But take that out of the equation. I don't, the version of this where it's working longer hours, 16-year-olds take, it doesn't, it's not something you can take, and I'm talking from a political standpoint, like campaigning. It's not something you can take back to your constituents and campaign on. To me, increasing funding for childcare, which last time I checked, Republicans and Democrats both require childcare. Regardless of who you
vote for. I believe so, yes.
So if you make it easier for them, like that's a good in a social version, like for good for the heart. But for your campaigning, that's also good to take back to your district and say, hey, we did this. We took care of you because we care. I don't understand why they just cannot, why it is everything and digging your heels and saying, no, we're going to do it this way because we know it's the correct way or it's the better way. Instead of, what did you say the increase would be? How much of a percent?
Well, if it's like Washington, D.C., we're talking 23% return on investment.
Yeah, but the increase in taxes, it was like
.05.
Yep. If you do the payroll tax. Yep.
It's negligible.
Yep. And that's all nonprofits, all of our government services. Everybody would be eligible to be part of that, where if you do a employer tax credit, which is taxpayer dollars being used because credits are still taxpayer dollars.
Right.
Then only your big businesses, only your for-profits are going to even be able to access that care if they can find a spot. And so this way it builds up the entire system and allows every single part of our economy to actually work how it's intended and needs to. So yeah, and like you said, Greg, it doesn't make sense because I don't foresee very many people being able to go campaign on, you know, that deregulation and 16-year-olds should be taking care of 7 2-year-olds in a classroom by themselves. And that's the other thing. Brooke Legler, my colleague and co-founder of Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed, did do the rounds and met with several Republican offices. And we told Representative Voss's office, the person we met with, you know, you Republicans could be the heroes. I mean, if you did this, you'd be the hero.
Yep.
Versus we reminded them that some of the senators like Bollweg and Strobel, who made a lot of comments about how they, one, Strobel said that women should just stay home and Bollweg would claim that she was supporting childcare, but then voted against it. We reminded them that we helped get them out. We reminded them that we talked to our families and we talked to our community members. We are respected people. We are trusted with their children. And we informed them, hey, FYI, Senator Bollweg voted against child care counts 10 times. Kieske, who's running, is saying that she supports child care investment. And you can talk to her and here's her information. And so we're not going to, you know, stop and we're not going to not do it this next time in 2026.
What was his reaction when you told him that?
It wasn't him. It was one of his,
of course,
he was his policy person, but her reaction was kind of like, and then she goes, well, there's no money. Where do you get the money from? And then we said, well, we spent $2.5 billion in prison systems. I feel like there's a little there we could take and reallocate and use to keep people from going down that road because the preschool prenatal to prison pipeline is real. And if you want to reduce crime, if you want all the things that every single person was talking about at those JFC hearings, foundationally comes back to taking care of our families and our children and our communities, and child care and housing are the biggest piece of that.
Don't we have a pile of money sitting in Wisconsin, $4 billion, that we could use this? Like to say there's no money is factually inaccurate and just ignorant if you don't like or you're a liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
Point made.
Tough to argue with that. Corrine Hendrickson is our guest. She is a child care provider. She also belongs to the Main Street Alliance. They had a meeting last night in Mount Horeb, and there is another one coming up next week that you can attend. We're going to talk more about that on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio, rather. In Radio Park in Racine, that's where we are.
We're at my house in Kenosha hanging out.
Racine, you can call us at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Corrine Hendrickson is our guest. She's got a child care center. She belongs to the Main Street Alliance. And you have an event coming up next week, Corrine, that people can attend. And again, we're talking about just how important childcare is in Wisconsin. And before we get going on this, it blows my mind when Republicans talk about how much they want Americans to have more babies. We need to increase, you know, the fertility rate, and we need to have more kids. But when it comes to actually funding programs that parents need, then it's like, yeah, well, you're on your own. Sorry, I don't know what we're going to do about that.
Yep.
It makes no sense. It just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And so that's why we're doing the National Day Without Child Care. This is the fourth annual one. It started during COVID. 2021, I guess, would have been the first year. And it was a reminder, hey, you begged us to stay open. We were essential. We're still essential. COVID didn't start these issues. We lost 60% of our child care in 2010, between 2010 and 2019. 6,000 programs closed. We're down to 4,500 right
now. Wow.
If they boot us and they don't replace those dollars with state dollars, you're looking at 25% closing. Green County, where I live, we're looking at 50%. I am likely going to be one of them. My rates are going to have to go up another $30 a week. I don't think all my families can afford it. I don't think I can replace them. So even those families who can afford the extra money every week because they have better jobs, you know, a little bit older, whatever.
Right.
They're going to lose me because I can't stay open. If I can't keep, you know, 75, 80% of my kids here, I can't stay open. And I'm not about to lose my house. I'm not about to go bankrupt because of that. I have other options. And so that's what is really disheartening is you're going to force a business that's been stable, a pillar of its community, done great things, won awards, blah, 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 because you choose not to invest in me. 18 years I've been in business. This is Small Business Week. This is Teacher Appreciation Week. This is Provider Appreciation Day on Friday. And you're telling me tomorrow at 1 o'clock that I'm not worth it. That's what you're saying to me. And I don't need to stick around for that. And neither do my colleagues. 5 years, we're tired. We're done. Yeah. Like, this is it. We're looking at our books and we're not going to go in the hole. It doesn't make sense.
Yep.
And so we're doing this Day Without Childcare again nationally, but Wisconsin, we're pushing really hard because of the budget. We have 10 on the map, which means that those are open to the public and people are putting it on the map. But I know we have at least 20, 30, 40 more programs that are going to be doing. And so New Glarus, Wisconsin, we have our one of our biggest ones. Brooke and I are the co-founders of WeCan. So that's why we're doing a big one here. We have Secretary of State Gadlewski. We have Deputy Undersecretary Tom McCarthy. We have WEDC, Office of Rural Prosperity, Beth Eskovic, if I said that right, is coming. We have Representative Jacobson coming. Senator Markwein hasn't let me know yet his plan. Mm. He's been invited. And our Green County Child Care Network is actually had invited both Representative Jacobson and Markwein then to tour the programs that are staying open that day then and meet with parents. Representative Jacobson took us up on the offer and she's visiting several. Again, I'm waiting for Senator Markwein. And so what we do is we talk about what would happen, what would it look like if we didn't have childcare. But we also talk about what could it be? It doesn't have to be this way.
Right.
So what can we do to change the system? And with I love all the protests. I love all the people, you know, speaking out against things. But we also need to participate in democracy by saying what we want and what we need and talk to our reps that way. So that's what this event is all about. There's another big one in Wanakee at the park there. Representative George is going to be there. Senator Hesselbein and Secretary for Department of Children and Families, Jeff Pirtle, will be there. We're doing big ones in Milwaukee. There's one up in Ashland. There's one in Eau Claire. And then actually, I'm running to Platteville to do another presentation down there at the bank that evening at 6 o'clock. And they're all open to the public and all free.
We're going to include all of the contacts mm-hmm. and all of this stuff in our show notes so that people can find it and head out there and join you if they can.
You said how many daycare centers have closed since this has been going on?
So since between 2010 and 2019, 6,000 child care programs closed.
And then you
a lot of that was because of the recession and we weren't invested in. And so when COVID hit, they took that and were like, oh, we can't do this again. And so they invested in us. And now our state is going to be one of six that's choosing not to put any dollars in, state dollars. So when you talk to your representatives, especially Republicans, they'll try and claim that we our state invested more money in the last budget in child care. That is factually true. They took the federal dollars that we fought for and got an increase from Senator Tammy Baldwin and Representative Mark Pocan, who are on key committees to get that extra money into our state. And they accepted it and they've appropriated it. But our state does zero.
Oh, so they're claiming money. They're claiming credit for money that actually came from the Fed, but they're claiming it came from the state. Yes. Well, this yes. would be good to know if you would like to perhaps call your representative. Yes. And if you don't know that number,
how do they do that, Jay?
They go to myvote.wi.gov and all you have to do is put in your address and every single phone number from all of your elected officials will come up and you could call them.
I asked the question, and I'll make it very, very quick, is because, again, I'm looking at it from a point of view of campaigning. You are going to, not you, them, they are going to be people who you can say, thousands of businesses went out because of your inaction and your apathy towards a massive problem. Thousands upon thousands of small businesses, which, by the way, politicians love to bloviate on how they're the backbone of America.
Yes, yes.
But you had no problem with allowing thousands of small businesses to go under because you didn't act.
Go take a walk this afternoon. Take along your phone. Make a couple phone calls
when
you're
nice.
Going for a little walk. And please be polite because you're going to talk to some young person who it's not their fault. Corinne Hendrickson has been our guest. Thank you so very much. Thank you for staying on for a second segment. My bad. I screwed up. Go do what you got to do. Thank you so much, Corinne. And good luck next week. I hope you get big turnout. We have news coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.